Not like we have an automated list of our own. We just get the mailing house sees the names. We don't see them. And they just, they remember their acquisitions. And we never actually have the names of some of those, the full list. We just have the donor. But we're trying to get the database together.
And so you're saying that the mailing house does this?
Yeah, that's a pretty standard procedure when you're doing acquisition lists, acquisition mailing. And the same happens, you know, it's both ways. You know, and so we never see the names of the people who we have mailed to because we don't own those names. This is when this rental arrangement with the other organizations is a one-time use. You know, we don't see it. Sort of like in the LSB elections that have just been happening, where maybe a candidate may want to mail to a certain number of donors or potential voters in their listening area. You know, those names go to a mail house, and they go, and the piece that's going to be mailed out goes to the mail house, and it goes out. You know, it protects the efficacy of the privacy of those donors. So we only see people who are on these lists who give us money, and that's the way it works in this business across the board.
Okay, and so the question I was getting at is that. So the mailing house, you see the list of the donors, so you get, like,
we do not see the list of the donors from other organizations. No, we do not.
No. When I say donors, I mean the 1 or 2% that's returning
to... Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, they mail their reply card back to us with their check, and, you know, there's coding on the return reply card so that we know what list those people came from so that we can do analysis and see which list have produced for us and which haven't. So we know which well to go to again.
So how do you do that? Is that manual or is that also done by the mailing house and they have all these sorts for you and on a list?
The mailing house, once the pieces hit the post office, they're done with the process.
Right, so they don't know. So you're getting it in.
Yeah, so that, there's a code, a distinct code for each list we use for each campaign we use so that we can, you know, select. It's everything's in an Excel spreadsheet right now, which is kind of clunky, but we can, you know, identify all those we call source codes. We can identify the source code, say, for The Nation magazine and say, okay, we mailed, by the time the deduping thing happened, we mailed 8,350 pieces there, and we've seen $12,200 from those pieces. You know, so that's how we can determine which list to use again.
Okay, so the question is the question we've had earlier is that can you determine by zip code or whatever close to it, and like you're saying, you're looking at the tri-state area to see, you know, what the zip codes are and why it came in. So the question goes back to, can you determine by zip code, an approximate number in terms of where the source of the funds are, you know, by station area?
Well, yeah, you could analyze the data by zip code and see where money came from in any given zip code, and there is a good range. You know, Memphis has a range of what is a zip code range for each signal area.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we don't know whether, you know, we won't know whether or not the people from, you know, Fort Lee, New Jersey, whether we got that name, whether that was a name that Pacifica had before, well, we would know that. Or whether that was a person who was a donor to the ACLU, you know, and we got their name from an ACLU list.
Right. I mean, the point is that somehow you can determine by zip code in terms of where the source in terms of the gift in terms of the.
Sure,
the
we
station.
Can look at it, and you know, if the person came from ACLU list, that will be noted on their reply card, and that'll go into the database. So we'll be able to say, okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lonnie. What?
Yeah, I think her question is, can you identify individuals and their zip codes? But what I'm hearing behind your question, can you identify, say, WBAI listeners,
right,
acquisition listeners? Well, the WBI listeners, we could identify from their list because we use their list.
Right.
So we don't have it in hand. We send that to the mailhouse too. But yeah, we could cross reference against WBI's list, and that's their list, and that would be the way we would tell. But the WBI listener would maybe responding to our solicitation, which is around supporting national programming and that purpose campaign. So there's this overlap of listeners. There are some listeners who support both the station and also want to support national programming. Or we tell folks what we're going to do with the money, like Spanish language program, because we're raising money for specific national programs. At least we have put those into our letters. And so people respond to the content of that letter as well. But all of it is aimed toward asking listeners across the country in every state, we mail to every state, for support for Pacifica as a network to produce national programming on national issues. And that's sort of the appeal, the concept of the mailing is having national impact through creation of national programming.
Brian here.
Sure. I don't think I've still gotten an answer to my question, though. Let me just try to ask it again. Okay.
I think you and I are barking up the same tree, LaVarne. Maybe you should give me a crack at it.
Okay, yeah. Let me just go one more time.
I'm not understanding what your question. I'm just trying to find out
whether or not HSA listeners can.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can determine which ones are within our KPFA versus KPFT listeners. If we can just get that information. I would have thought by zip code. Can we get that information?
We can't tell if they're listeners to KPFA or any of the stations unless they're on their donor list. I mean, you know the deal about
I understand. That's what I'm saying. And the other people who you're getting could, I mean, if they're not members. Hello, are we there?
Yeah.
Okay. We the other people who are not members are would be within the zip code. So the question is you can split it both ways. You can say these are members of KPFA or T or whatever. Then these are listeners who are not members but within the zip code. But once they actually give money. You also said you have a national list. So, but once they actually give to national, so how do we move those into MEMSes for the stations, or does it just stay on this national list?
It stays on the national list. You know, we can't assume that just because somebody in the New York listening area who is not on the WBAI donor list but gave to Pacifica. We can't assume, I don't think, I really don't think, we could assume that they're WBAI listeners because they give to Pacifica and they live in the New York listening area. You know, I think Lonnie's point is well taken, and that is that the thrust of all of our mailings are creating a national impact through the medium of radio. And people who, as I said before, people who are giving to us who can't hear us unless they go online, which I don't think very many people do. So that, you know, I'm sure we could talk about sharing those lists back and forth. I mean, I just don't have any objection to that. But I think what I think you were trying to answer or ask, and I think I finally got what you're trying to ask, is that what I said, that if just because somebody lives in one of the Pacifica station listening areas and donates to Pacifica from an acquisition list we rented, we can't necessarily assume that they listen to their local Pacifica area station. Is that the question you were trying to get the answer to? Or am I too inside baseball here, as they say?
Well, we may have lost LaVarne for a minute.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just step away just for a second.
Yeah. Genuinely trying to answer the question. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what it is.
No, I think basically, you're saying there's that one can determine by zip code or in terms of members who are members of KPFA or the other stations. Then you have another list because that are not on the station member list, so
right.
Those just stay on a national list. But but in terms of the member list, if we just want to look at that, we can determine how much funds are raised from this member list from each one of the stations when you do these mail drops, if we wanted to find that. Okay, that's the question I had.
Okay.
Brian here?
Brian, go ahead.
Cool. Thank you for taking the time. This is really helpful. I guess what I want to be able to evaluate at the end of the mailing is kind of the novel arrangement we've worked out this year, where WBAI has committed the first $200,000 in net, and KPFT has committed the first $100,000 in net from their mailing.
We're not saying the first 100,000 or 200,000. We say from three mailings that we're planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, over the course of the year.
Yeah, over the course of the year is a better way to put it.
And I guess the pertinent question to me is that amount of money accurately reflecting what those stations are adding to the mailing, or is it, in effect, a way of subsidizing the stations? And if it's a subsidy for the stations, there may be a perfectly good reason to subsidize them, but that should be part of the conversation. So I think that the useful numbers to me would be, first of all, how well do we do off the list that those two stations contribute? And there's a secondary impact, as I understand it, too, right? Because those stations are agreeing to promote the mailing on air. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what would be helpful there is to see a comparison of how the response rate is greater in their signal area overall without regards to the list than it is to the response rate in signal areas that are not participating in the partnership with National. In other words, in BAI's signal area range of zip codes, is there a greater response rate than in KPFA's signal area range of zip codes? I think that would be the most pertinent data to be able to pull at the end of the mailing.
And you'd also, I think, you'd want to put in there, are those people within the zip codes people who we got via acquisition, or are they people who are already donors to Pacifica from previous mailings prior to this one?
I see. So are you doing this in addition to any renewal mailings you're sending people who are already Pacifica donors?
We don't really have a renewal campaign. Well, I've just started trying to get, in this mailing, I've just started to get people to do EFT as a way of determining yearly giving. Now, this is only fundraising on this scale by Pacifica. I mean, I came over from KPFA in the summer of 2004, and I believe that prior to that, maybe one direct mail drop had happened, maybe two, maybe none. I'm not really sure. But we're just now building, you know, we have 23,000 names in the Pacifica donor file from all sources, from all mailings. We're now getting ready to get people used to the concept of their yearly gift, that they're members of Pacifica. It gets a little squirrely because if they're a member of a station, they get a chance to vote, you know, in the Pacifica elections or local elections, and there's not that capability here, so we have to be careful that Pacifica donors don't feel like they have other rights like a station donor has. But I guess I'm going far afield, but what I should basically say is we're just now trying to get people with the concept that they renew after 1 year. And we have a database that needs some help in order to be able to do quick and easy extracts to be able to send these people yearly mailing. This way, all those people get put into the language is always general enough in these mailings that people are encouraged to give for a second or third time to Pacifica.
And so, all the stations are listed in our mailings, too, so if people have an interest. They know where their station is in that given area. I do think that we've been event driven in these national mailings where we're asking people to support efforts around an election to educate people on issues. And in this case, the first one was the presidential election, 2004. And now, 2006, we're at the congressional, and we'll do 2008 in terms of identifying that Pacifica's role in educating the public with good alternative information in connection with those that the presidential election is coming up. And we've done things around hearings, too. So the basic idea is to reconceptualize not only what we do out of the national office in because of having national impact and have a national mailing list. But we've been working with the stations, as I said earlier before, to have them reconceptualize themselves as being regional broadcasters, having a 3 or 4 state span. Even people that can't hear you will support you. We're proving that point with these national mailings, such that people would develop a regional mailing list, not just a local mailing list. And that's sort of this is the beginning stage of trying to see if that concept is viable. And people that are members, say, of ACLU in Pennsylvania, we are finding members of other progressive organizations will support, for example, the concept of a WBAI that they may not be able to hear in Pennsylvania. And they're voting, in this case, with their dollars. And that's what we're trying to clarify, too. Who will support the concept of independent media, even though they're not local station listeners?
Yeah, I think we get that. I mean, you've made that point very well, and I think it's great that you're doing these mailings.
In answer to your question, though, Brian, I would say that I would hope that by within the next 6 months that we'd be able to reach out to repeat donors in the same way that stations do with the concept of renew your membership to Pacifica. You know, the stations have the ability to do that over their air, obviously. You know, that's a no-brainer. We don't at Pacifica. So we've got to create that concept of membership in this organization only via the mail.
Very cool. I mean, good on you for taking that on. So getting back to the original question, do you think it would be feasible to generate some kind of data that helps us quantify what bump we get from the partnerships with local stations?
Well, we could make an attempt at it.
Yeah. I mean, we can pull raw data out, you know.
It'll take a couple of months.
Pretty early on in the life of this mailing, I think,
I'm talking about the budgeting cycle for next year. The arrangement between national and the stations in terms of the revenue sharing is not one I fully understood when we went through the budget review process. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's one that management here fully understood when it was proposed to them that they participate in it. So I think, you know, you're trying something new here. Let's make sure we have the tools in place to evaluate, you know, if it's working, if it's sharing the revenues in an appropriate fashion, and what tweaks it would need to make sure that there's an incentive for the stations to participate, that the money they get out of it reflects the amount of contribution they're making to the outcome of it, and so forth.
Now, you know, when you're talking, if we're talking about in the future, say a revenue share, where say KPFA says, okay, we agree to use some X number of our names in your mailing, you know, and we'll split the cost with you. We'll split the proceeds with you down the line. That's different than what, as I understand it, what the situation with he and I,
right,
with the commitment that Lonnie has made to share revenue with them. Am I correct, Lonnie?
Yeah, we're just, it's just the first year we're doing it.
And that was a lump sum. We're going to give you that amount of money because you need it, as opposed to we're going to give you one never knows ultimately how much money you're going to get for budgeting purposes from a specific list. So that it's different to say, okay, KPFA, you'll get 50% of X dollars to be determined as this piece plays out, versus WBAI, you need 200,000. Pacifica's committing 200,000 from our efforts to support you. It's sort of two different things. Same idea,
right,
but they play out differently based upon the agreement.
Right. My concern is that it not be a backdoor subsidy, that if we're making a commitment to subsidize a station because they're making a giant capital expense, like setting up a transmitter or moving through a rough patch, that be explicit in the budgeting process. I went through the budgeting process understanding that this was more of a revenue-sharing arrangement.
Maybe I'm wrong, and there's an understanding.
Well, I really don't think this is on you, but what I'm saying is when we close the books on the mailing, let's try to generate some numbers that let us say, okay, we're trying this cool thing where the stations are promoting the mailing on the air, where they're sharing various lists. Let's see how much that actually contributed to the net from the mailing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And we also need to
know what happened.
We need to make sure that the stations are, in fact, doing the promotion on air, which they can just now start doing because of all the people's air being full of other election and other things.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
that would be my concern, that when you promise them a flat amount, they don't actually have any incentive to really promote that mailing because they're getting their money regardless.
Mm-hmm.
If you did more of a percentage revenue share arrangement, you might hear more on-air promotion because there'd be an incentive to make it happen there.
And also what you're referring to is that it's incumbent upon us to analyze the returns from each mailing so we could to advise us in having success in the future. So, of course, we're going to do and list analysis. We're going to look and see, you know, which ones work and which ones don't, both in percentage as well as actual dollars.
Well, this is Teresa. I have a question too. When you're finished.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you know, absolutely. This is what we've asked for. You know, a few meetings ago, it's exactly the analysis of the list. Go ahead, Teresa.
Did you get the answer to your question?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, has National given us any guidance as to what this on-air promotion is supposed to sound like? Or have you written it out? Is there a promo that we're supposed to be playing, or who's supposed to be doing this
on-air? Well, the people we were talking with, this first mailing, we didn't get it together, but we've got two more. So. And one in the spring and maybe one in the summer, so we think we have time to get that.
We had a verbal conversation as opposed to an email conversation, I guess. We talked about, you know, if you will tell your listeners, you know, hey, you've recently gotten a piece in the mail from Pacifica Radio supporting this campaign, will help support KPFT, WBAI. You know, I think we gave people my understanding was sort of the basic pitching points, if you will. You know, and I personally don't want to go into telling individual stations how they should promote things on their air. We give them the boilerplate, the pitching points, if you will, and let them implement it as their audience would, as they feel their audience would respond best.
Okay.
But you got to follow up. Nothing happens without follow up.
Right. And again, as I said, you know, really, since these pieces have hit, stations have had a lot of pressure to play candidate statements and, you know, things about the election and things about the national election that stations do. And so it's just now that their air will be a little more clear to promote this. And you bring up a good point, Brian. And Lonnie, if you'll help me remember, we'll reach out to INT and ask them to do this outreach a little bit now to help support this campaign.
We can do it.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. Well, I've just sent an email to Sandra and with a CC to Dwayne and our development director and a CC to our LSB chair saying, you know, do I understand correctly that we're supposed to be actively promoting the mailing on the air, and how are we doing that? So I'm hoping that you'll give Dwayne some guidance on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Very good. Other questions? Okay. Lonnie, do you want to wrap it up for Phil? Or Phil, certainly we'll thank you for coming online and explaining this. Something we've been asking these questions.
Oh,
so
sure.
Give
me a call anytime or send me an email.
We want to see the analysis. We want to see where it's in terms of, again, because the point is that, like Brian said, is it a subsidy or are you actually sourcing, getting funds from the local stations? We'd like to know how much that is, because that is from local stations in terms of the members. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting to know that you have about a 22,000 list, national list. So,
that's people who have donated to Pacifica in the last 2 years.
But it's also more than the members, Laverne. I mean, this is the potential of the mailing, right? Is
no,
that 90%
Brian,
of the
Brian,
people...
Brian, I didn't say it was just members. I said it was members and listeners. So I understand that point. But
In solidarity with our goal.
Right. Sorry. But then the further question, though, is that, in fact, thanks for reminding me, is there any duplication in terms of the Pacifica National List and members of the stations?
Certainly there is, from all five stations.
Oh, okay. Do you know how many?
How
many? What's that?
Not off the top of my head. I don't know how many. I mean, I'd have to look in. It's a It's an analysis of data that is hard to do, as I understand it, in Excel. I'm not that computer savvy, so I have to
do it through Memphis.
But we don't have Memphis as a national office. So if we did, we could whip this kind of stuff out, you know, in simple queries. Well, not so simple, but in queries. But Memphis is expensive. It costs about $13,000.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, very good. Other questions, points?
What's our next item?
Patty?
Just one question. Did it ever get on these mailers, the little boxes? Are you a listener to any of the five stations? Didn't we talk about that a couple of times?
Yeah, we did.
Notating that has it gotten on any of our mailers?
We voted it down.
Yeah.
We voted it down?
And we're in finance? I don't
Or maybe Dave withdrew the motion.
Yeah.
We certainly didn't pass anything to that effect.
Dave, are you there? Dave is not there. Or maybe he's there, he's on mute. Okay. All right, that's a question we'll make a note.
He fell asleep. He did say he had not been getting enough sleep.
And this conversation is so stimulating. Okay. So, but the question Patty still has is that are we asking in the mailers? Okay.
That would be one way. That would be one way of getting someplace without having, you know, to some degree, people self-identifying as listeners to stations. And that was also we had that concern that the national mailings aren't somehow maybe taking away from our own fundraising of each of the stations. So it would be a good thing to have, and it maybe would help in your analysis as well. So I don't know why it didn't get on there. I don't know why we would vote such a thing down.
I don't believe we voted that down, because I certainly don't recall that at all. But
I recall us either voting it down or withdrawing it. And the reason is because anything you do to complicate a reply device in a direct mailing diminishes your return.
Yeah,
you put an extra checkbox on there that someone has to take 3 more seconds to think about. Some percentage of people will never complete the thing and send it back to you. You don't combine a survey function with a fundraising function in a mailing. It's a recipe for disaster.
You're right about that.
I don't know. I'd ask Steve Brown about that. I think I'm not sure. I'd ask him.
All right. Also, you know,
a lot about that.
There's another point on the software that we're using for elections. Maybe there's some possibility, I think, if Lonnie and Phil can discuss that with Les, some possibility of using that software. But anyway, that's just because I sat down with Les and he showed me how you feed the information and how it actually. So it seems like there are multiple uses for this. I mean, it's just really an exciting piece of software. But, okay, is there anything else? We certainly, again, like to thank Phil for joining the conversation.
If you all are done with me, I got a couple dogs chomping at me to have dinner. So
I hear that. Okay.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I may have to leave at 8 o'clock.
I think that why don't we all decide what about 7:45? That's about 7 minutes. There are just a couple more things. But we definitely do need to get to, we need to talk about the actuals, because we need to see on the P&L and the fiscal close, the close of 06. There's some items on there I would definitely like to look at and discuss.
So this is Phil. Sounds like you're going on to other things. So this is Phil signing off.
Yes, we did say goodbye. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Bye-bye now.
We didn't make it clear. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know, when do you think we can discuss some of these major items? What is the feel for the committee? Is there anyone here?
Yeah.
I'm here.
I did it out. Some people said they didn't get it. So,
do we want to move this item to the 7th along with the budget? Because I mean, there's definitely line there. I have questions about the actuals for 06. There's some items on there.
Yeah.
I have some serious questions about. I mean, I haven't even seen them, but I mean, I know what I'd like to ask some questions about.
But yeah, sure, I'll be happy.
And I guess the major thing we wanted to I'd like to ask about is the CPB funding.
Yeah. You mean for 07 or the ending for 06?
Well, the ending for 06.
Yeah, sure, I'll be happy to go through that. But boy, I'm.
You want to do that now? Or do you want to do it on the 7th?
I'd rather do it on the 7th. I'm just about out of steam here. I've been up.
Okay. So the next item was just I was just going to do a quick report on the Finance Committee motions that we had to go to the PNB and to say that the that oh, do we do, can we move the agenda? Is this okay? Okay. That the motion to get my little sheets here. It was the one on the general manager expense reimbursements that was approved, but it was Dave I think added language to say that, or Ambrose, to say that reimbursements must first be submitted to the to the national office, and then via expense reports, and then for approval by the executive director or CFO, and CFO, I think he had, before general manager expenses are reimbursed. So that was approved.
Motion to have it go through the local finance office, too.
I think it was, well, it said through the finance office, so, but this is usually through, it said the local, and then to Lynn.
Not ours, but the local station finance office.
Right, local station, and then to the national, which would be to Lynn, who's doing that now, is that correct?
No, it would go to me. Oh, we have those special forms, and therefore our approval and review.
And you sent out a copy of the expense report form.
Yeah,
and
those are the ones we're using.
Okay, and I use sent out my little thing that calculates mileage and stuff for that also.
Yeah, so we're using those, and people are complying at this point.
Okay, very good. So that was I think, approved. And that the subject was so exciting that people chose to discuss it for the whole length of the time that I had for finance, so that we couldn't get to, we couldn't get to the second motion. I never saw anything so that would prove to be so interesting in such a topic for discussion. It's amazing. So we didn't get to the second motion, which was the credit card motion. So we have that on the agenda for the next meeting of the PNB.
Well, right now, though, that I did talk with Eva. She was here Monday in Berkeley.
Oh, she was?
Yes, and we did clear that up. Now, she has a credit card, which is coming to her, $10,000. That will be her upper limit.
Okay.
And we're asking her, and it turns out the auditors were here, too.
Good.
Turns out the auditor is insisting that that we follow that procedure of having purchases go through the local finance office, so that a record can be done and an audit trail be left,
mm-hmm.
and such that and that there be a company check. You shouldn't have to pay for premiums on your personal credit card or the company credit card.
Oh, right.
It should be a company check, and so we did work that procedure out, and we gave Eva a little bit more limit on her credit card, $10,000. Because of some circumstances she faces there. Okay. But that has occurred. That has been done. And we cleared it with the bank and found out what the holdup was. And Eva's aware now. And that card is in the mail to her.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Things work, huh? So, but the motion, we still want the motion to be approved by the PNB, is that?
Well, we did it. You know, I'm remembering that this did come before the PNB, and they gave us authorization for the credit card. And it passed.
Okay, we just couldn't find that. Okay.
Really? Maybe I'm.
You actually sent out in fact, going through all of this, I found the list that you had sent out with motions. So I'll just check that list again.
Okay.
Because when I was trying to go through all this and find these motions, I saw it there, but I didn't have a chance to go through each one.
Yeah, okay. I do have another copy. So, yeah, I do remember because they required, remember, a bank? Yeah, they had a resolution from the bank. I had to sign off on by the board before we could get those credit cards or even apply.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I think the board did approve.
Okay. All right. So in the next item, so that's it, and it's 7:44. Are there any other items, things we need to discuss? So we have moved the 06 review.
Yeah, maybe I'll have more audit adjustments by that time, but right, what I gave you is what I had at this time.
And you know, if you could just send us a little, you know, Excel spreadsheet showing the CPP funding by station and when we move the funds to the state to each station.
Yeah, sure, we'll do. I'm making a note. Okay, CPP funding.
Uh huh.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, that's the seventh. So are they any other items for discussion? Okay, well, this has been wonderful, and I certainly appreciate everyone's participation. And hopefully Casey will do okay. And maybe we can get Ambrose and did Jane come on? No. Okay. And Ambrose and Jane will send them a little note or to let them know what has transpired.
Wasn't and Jane on at the beginning of the meeting?
No, someone said her name.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. But is Sandra there?
She was here earlier.
She was here, right. Okay, so I'll just send the rest of my notes. Okay, well, certainly would like to thank everyone. If there's nothing else, can we entertain a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn this treaty.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good night,
thank
all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.